I'm gonna give you a little review and catch you up, and then we're gonna begin to talk about forgiveness tonight. Now, the theme of what we've been talking about is emotionally unhealthy people. This is our sixth and final lesson. Now, listen at this. In the same way that a person can be unhealthy physically in their bodies, they can be unhealthy in their emotions, unhealthy in their souls. But Jesus paid the price not only for health for our bodies and not only for forgiveness for our spirits, but Jesus paid the price so that we could be healthy emotionally. The scripture says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says that he was wounded for our transgressions, said he was bruised for our iniquities. That has to do with our spirits, forgiveness. The Bible says by his stripes we were healed, has to do with our physical bodies. But it says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, or the punishment necessary for us to have peace was placed on Jesus, and wholeness is God's will. So many Christians come in churches, they sit in churches, and they dress and they look nice on the outside. And we know how to talk Christian. We got a Christian vocabulary, and we can say the right things. But many people in our churches are wounded and broken on the inside. So we come to church and we smile, but then we go home and we cry. So this is my opportunity to do some counseling. That's what I've been doing for the last few weeks. I've been counseling because wholeness is God's will for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, not H-O-L-Y, but wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y. God wants you whole in your spirit. Come on, say this, spirit. Come on, put your hand right there. He wants you whole in your spirit, okay? He wants you whole in your body. Come on, touch your body. And then he wants you whole in your soul. Wholeness is God's will. So we've been dealing with what I'm calling spiritual viruses. Spiritual viruses that attack us in our souls. And many of these viruses we pick up in our formative years when we're growing up. Sometimes traumatic instances, sometimes neglect, and all kinds of experiences that we have, it breaks us emotionally. So we've talked about anger. We've talked about bitterness. We've talked about resentment. In our last session, we talked about jealousy and envy. Session before that, we talked about jealousy and envy. And then our last session, we talked about shame, guilt, and regret. Now, the master key to wholeness in all these areas is forgiveness. Is what?
Forgiveness.
Okay, so forgiveness. So I'm going to shoot through what forgiveness is not. I'm going to talk about why we should forgive. I'm going to talk about how to forgive. And I may move kind of fast in certain instances. But at the end, I think we'll have enough time for you to ask any questions you want. And enjoy this time, y'all. Enjoy this time that we can ask, what's your name? And then, what's your name? Because today it's going to be thousands of people. Amen. And we're just not going to be able to do that. Amen. So enjoy this time. In fact, you're the seed. We need to take a picture, everybody, so that when we look back, we'll say, y'all remember when we met down at Columbus State? And you know, Pastor was asking us these questions. Nah, I can't even ask no questions because look at all them folk right there. But we're going to do something else, okay? We're going to have a vehicle in place where you can connect in smaller units, but we just won't have this. But it's going to be all right. 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 You ready to get started?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness, listen at this. Walking in unforgiveness is literally being handcuffed to the person. Stand up, Willie. We're handcuffed. It's literally being handcuffed to the person who hurt you, the person who offended you, the person who violated you. When you walk in unforgiveness, you're literally, spiritually handcuffed to that person. Forgiveness sets you free. Got that? Forgiveness. Now let's look at some background text. We're going to look at two background texts and then we're going to dive in. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 verses 26 through 32. This is the traditional King James Version. We'll look at it, walk through it. You can make mental notes. And remember, it's going to be online. It says, be ye angry. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of things that we talk about grieve the Holy Spirit. We talk about sexual sins and all those kind of things. But a lot of those heart issues, anger and bitterness, that grieves the Holy Spirit too. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness, we talked about that, and wrath and anger, talked about that, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Here's the operative verse. Here's the operative verse. And be ye kind to one another. We're going to have such a kind church. Mm. Oh, we're just going to love on people. We're going to be nice. Even when we confront, we're going to be nice. Even when people are corrected, we're going to be nice. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted. Now look at this. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I highlighted forgiving, and I highlighted the words even as, and in a moment you'll see why I highlighted that. Now notice, forgiveness is an instruction to the believer. We're instructed to forgive. Now, let's look at one last text. Let's look over at Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, and then we'll look at verses 12 through 13, and then we'll have a scriptural foundation. Now, it says, but now, Colossians 3, 8, but now you also put off these, since we're born again now. See, we're saved now. So we shouldn't walk in this anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Nobody curse, no profanity, right? Y'all don't curse anymore, right? I mean, that just went straight over y'all head. Y'all look like. No, serious. Y'all don't curse anymore, do you? No profanity. Oh, do I need to give an altar call? Listen, hey, we born again. We saved, so we don't curse anymore. Okay. Praise the Lord Jesus. Lord, filthy communication out of your mouth. Get it out your mouth. Lie not one to another, sin that you have put off the old man. That's the old man with his deeds. Look at the next. And put on the new man. That's who we are, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Look at verse 12. Put on, therefore, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bounds of mercies. Amen. Mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, operative verse, forbearing one another, putting up with. Forbear means to put up. We're going to have to put up with some things. We're going to have to put up with the weakness, the shortcomings, and the mistakes. People are going to make some mistakes, and we're going to have to put up with it. But we're going to have to put up with you, too. Okay, so we got to put up with you, too. You're going to make some, too. So it talks about forbearing one another. Now watch this, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against even as Christ forgave you, and so also do you. A lot of times, I'm a teacher, but I also operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and sometimes the Spirit of God let me know things that's going on in the service. I'm so glad I'm in Columbus, because I don't know y'all, y'all don't know me, you know what I mean? So I don't know your business, so it ain't like nobody told me your business, you know what I mean? So when it talks about forgiveness, we got to go all the way back. I know you're born again, but we got to go all the way back, because there's someone here that you're not speaking to somebody. Okay? There are family members that you're not even talking to. You're through with them. Okay? You just have closed the book on them. All right? So we've got to walk in some forgiveness, because God has a wonderful plan for your life. And you don't want to stop that plan because of whatever happened in your family. Okay? Family members. We got to forgive everybody. Exes. Ex-husband, ex-spouse, ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, ex-this, ex-that. We've got to walk in forgiveness. Okay? Now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about first what forgiveness is not and get some clarity, what it is not. And I'm going to move through this kind of fast. They're going to put some of the notes up on the monitor. Forgiveness is not approval of what the offender did. In forgiving, you're not approving what was done to you. Secondly, forgiveness is not ignoring or closing your eyes to the wrong things that others do. God is not asking us to ignore it. God is not asking us to close our eyes to it. Thirdly, forgiveness is not excusing or covering up what others have done. Crimes, if it's a crime, should be reported to the authorities. So we're not talking about cover up. Forgiveness is not justifying what others have done. If it was wrong, it was just wrong. Forgiveness is not denial. It's not pretending that the offense didn't occur. Forgiveness is not confrontation avoidance. One of the biggest mistakes in local churches, this is my 39th year pastoring, one of the biggest mistakes I see in the local church, because we're so close to each other, you know what I mean? We see each other from week to week. One of the biggest mistakes I've seen in the church is conflict avoidance, confrontation avoidance. We don't confront well. We don't do it well. We talk sideways and we talk down, but we don't confront. Confrontation protects you. It gets it out of you. It closes the gap so that Satan can't drop thoughts in you. You've already told a person what you feel. Nothing Satan can say to you. You see what I'm saying? When you hold stuff on the inside or talk down or talk sideways and not talk to Lisa, "Lisa, I don't like that what you said. That made me feel bad. I just want you to know that." So I'm not going to go over to Michael and say, "Well, you know, Lisa made me feel bad." No, that's not confrontation. That's confrontation avoidance. So I'm going to talk to her. Yeah. Now, her response is not my responsibility. But what I've done, I've gotten it out of me so it can't turn into bitterness on the inside, and Satan can't be dropping thoughts in my head about her because I've already talked to her. Does that make sense to you? Now, forgiveness is not forgetting the offense. When you look at those two texts, and I tried to find out where the forgetting thing come from, because I don't see where God tells us to forget. I don't see where he tells us to forget. So that's not. Now listen at this. This is really important. Forgiveness is not trusting the offender. It's not what?
Trusting the offender.
It is possible to forgive without trusting. Now, I always challenge our men of God. I'm a little tough on our men. We got men all over our church. Men is all over our church because they like for pastor to confront them. I confront them. Listen, so often I've seen people get back into abusive relationships because they don't understand the difference between trust and forgiveness. So they jump back in. Females a lot of times jump back in an abusive relationship because they are told, "Trust me. I told you I'm going to change. Now trust me." Forgiveness and trust is not the same thing. Trust is built on honesty. Trust is built on consistency. You let people, you pull back for a season and you watch people. You see whether or not they want counsel. They don't want counsel if they're not ready. They hadn't truly repented. It's based off predictability. Can I predict your actions? Can I predict your responses? It's based on accountability. When you're in a relationship and a person doesn't want counsel, doesn't want to talk to anybody, doesn't want to be held accountable, then that person hadn't truly repented. Now, forgiveness is not reconciliation. You understand that? Reconciliation is totally different. Forgiveness, finally, is not processing it. I hear people saying, "I'm processing it." We were listening at a religious station on the way down here, and the guy was giving a testimony. He was saying that it took him 20 years to forgive. So he was saying after 20 years he was able to forgive. That's processing. Forgiveness is not a process. Come on, say forgiveness is not a process. Now listen at this. The healing from the sting of the hurt feelings may be a process. The healing from the sting of the hurt feelings may be a process, but forgiveness is not a process. God, Jesus said, now when you process it. No, Jesus says when you stand praying.
Forgive.
Forgive. Okay, now we know what is not. Let's move now. Why is it important to forgive your mother? I tell you, sometimes when I'm talking, the Spirit of God just brings up stuff. Why is it important to forgive your mother? Why is it important for you to forgive whoever? Listen carefully. And we're going to try to open it up so you can ask some questions about this. Forgiveness protects you from the consequences of unforgiveness. God gave us forgiveness to protect us. God did not give us forgiveness to change the offender. He gave forgiveness to us to protect us from the consequences of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness binds you emotionally and spiritually to the offender like handcuffs. We talked about that. Even if that you're no longer in physical contact with the person, and even if the person has died. So you've got people, here's how we treat situations. A lot of times, we just change environments. And so we think out of sight is out of heart. So what we do, we change environments. We change relationships, we change husbands, we change wives. We change jobs, we change churches. But the truth of the matter is, everywhere you go, you're there. So changing the environment doesn't mean that you've forgiven. It just means you no longer have physical contact with the person. If Jesus had not forgiven those who offended him, he would not have left hell and would not have been raised from the dead. On the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Bam, he died, soul, spirit, went to hell. Never would have got out of hell if he hadn't forgiven. Some Christians are in hellish situations right now because they hadn't forgiven. Y'all quiet tonight. Let's talk about what is forgiveness. See, I'm counseling. Y'all on my sofa tonight. See, y'all on my sofa. You know, it's funny when I'm ministering a lot of times, I can tell. We have services where folk get all fired up and they be standing up. Go head on. they go like, hold, go head on, prophet. And then sometimes they'd be like, y'all are tonight. like, well, you know, people don't talk a lot when they're in surgery, do they? I mean, you know, nobody talks when they're in surgery. Spirit of God led me to do this series because he loves you. The hurt is real. The offense was real. The sin was real. The rape was real. The violation was real. The molestation was real. It's painful. The divorce was real. It's painful. But what is your response to it? You can't control what people do. That's witchcraft. But you're always in control of how you respond. Yes. Thank you. Has a guy said, you stood right in front of me and looked straight at me when you were talking. You all got that look on your face like I did in that cost accounting class. I didn't even want to look up at the instructor because I didn't have a clue what was going on in that class. I was like, Jesus. And I was looking at that clock like, I didn't want to look at him because if I looked at him, he may call on me. Okay, let's move through this right quick. And then if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. What is forgiveness? I want you to listen very carefully. Listen very carefully. I got five definitions. Five. What is forgiveness? Number one, forgiveness is appreciating the extent of your own forgiveness and responding like God. It's appreciating the extent of your own forgiveness. Now, when you go back, and we won't turn back to it, I'll just quote it. Remember Ephesians 4, listen what it says. It says in verse 32, forgiving one another even as, remember that? Mm-hmm. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Then Colossians basically said the same thing. Colossians 3:13 says, forgiving one another even as Christ forgave you, so you do. So forgiveness is really based off an appreciation of the extent of God's forgiveness for us. Am I the only person that God has forgiven? How many of you God has forgiven you? Amen. And think about it. A lifetime. He's not holding in that junk, and all of us had junk. We were junky. We got stuff we don't want nobody to know we did it. Right?
Right.
And so it's kind of like he's saying, well, if I forgive you for a lifetime, what's the issue with you forgiving somebody else? It's an appreciation of the extent of God's forgiveness for us. And when we approach it like that, then what somebody else did to us, because after all, God is not lining us up and exposing our sins. He's saying, I forgive you. He said, yeah, I'll forgive you for that. He says, and I won't even let anybody know you did it. Because I don't want you to be embarrassed. Not only that, I don't even remember it, God says. The blood just cleansed it. He don't even remember what you did. So it begins with appreciating the extent of our forgiveness. Number two, what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice that's not based on your feelings. It's forgiving with your heart independent of your feelings. Independent. You're doing it based on what God says. You're not doing it. It said nothing in those texts about forgive, and then when you feel it, bam, you got it. No, it didn't say anything about feelings. Forgiveness has nothing, and that's what throws us. That's what throws us. We want to feel the forgiveness. God doesn't tell us to forgive it. He tells us to choose to. It's a choice. Number three, forgiveness is a unilateral or one-sided decision that's not based on the offender's behavior or response. It's a unilateral decision. Unilateral decision. If I use Lisa, if Lisa offends me, hurts me, whatever, forgiving her is a unilateral decision. It's a one-sided decision. Has nothing to do with her behavior. She can still act crazy. You understand that? She cannot respond, period, in a positive way. But it's a unilateral decision. Has nothing to do with her. Has nothing to do with anything she does, anything she doesn't do. Jesus told me. Okay, it's a unilateral decision that helps us because we want the person to respond a certain way. Mm-hmm. And when they respond a certain way, then I'll forgive you, right? Number four, forgiveness is an act of submission and obedience to the Lordship of Jesus. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not doing what I'm saying? He said, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I say? Mark 11:25, Jesus said, when you stand, pray and forgive. It's an act of obedience. That's what it is. It's just an act of obedience. Now watch this. I don't know if you have to stand. I don't know if you have to stand, but I do. Tell me, you stand up? Yes. I stand up because I want to mark my conscience. I went to a church one time. I experienced a whole lot of crazy stuff. When you're in leadership, you're leading thousands of people and you're out front and stuff like that. People say ugly things, say a lot of different things. Folk don't know it because I don't talk about it. I don't even go home and talk to my wife about it. I've learned to protect my wife. A lot of times people get hurt, they go home and tell their spouse, you know what they did, what they did. Now the spouse is all huffy and mad and stuff like that. No, I protect my wife. I don't tell all that crazy stuff. Because see, my wife, let me tell you something about Pete. Let me tell you about Pete. First church I was in, you know, I was pastoring the church. I was so young and stuff like that. And most of the folk were older folk. And boy, they were giving me a hard time at a meeting. And Pete was in that meeting. Pete said, what? She's still up. She said, wait a minute. Like, he said, wait 1 minute. Like I was like a little boy. I was like, okay, get him. Okay. Hey, like, take care of him. You know, take care of him. I know my wife. I know she loves me, see? I know she gonna stand up for me. But she'll carry it differently. She'll carry it differently. So I don't go home and tell her all the craziness stuff I hear. I want to protect her heart. I want to protect her. Yeah, I don't want to put all that stuff. I don't want to put all that crazy stuff on her. And then she got to work through it. I don't walk away from it. And then she's still trying to massage it in her spirit. I went to this church one time and the guy said something to me. He just said something to me. And I was driving down the highway and I thought about it. I was feeling so bad about what he had said. I just was feeling bad about it. I pulled that car over on the side of the road. I pulled on the side of the road, cars passing by. I pulled on the side of the road and I stood up and I said, Jesus, Father, what they said, that wasn't right. And I told God, it made me feel bad. I said, that made me feel bad. Because that wasn't right what they said to me. And I said, but you said that when I stand praying to forgive. So I just release them, God. I forgive them. I release them. I pray your blessings over their lives. And I got in my car and I drove off. I do that on a regular basis. I just stand up and say, God, I tell God what I'm thinking about it. I say, God, that wasn't right. God, that made me feel bad. God, they shouldn't have said it, shouldn't have done it, but you said. See, forgiveness is an act of obedience to the Lordship of Jesus. He told us, when you stand, pray and forgive. I do it all the time to keep my heart clean. I got to keep my faith working. Faith works by love. Can't let anybody rob me.
Yes, my God.
Can't let anybody distract me, get me off on little minor things. Believing for too much. Got too much to do. Got too many people I'm covering for me to allow you have to protect your spirit. See, you have to protect. See, the power of God is in your spirit. And there's nothing you can accomplish through your faith. I mean, you can overcome, you can obtain, you can achieve anything with your spirit. But you can't clog your spirit up with all that bitterness and resentment and all that pain and all that kind of stuff. So I don't let that get in me. I don't let people get in me. You have to allow people to get on the inside of you.
Amen.
I don't let people get on the inside of me. So forgiveness is releasing your right. Now listen carefully. It is releasing your right to hear, I'm sorry. You're releasing that right. They don't have to ever tell you, I'm sorry. You're releasing your right to be bitter. You don't have a right to be bitter. You're releasing your right to get even. You're releasing your right to dwell on it. You're releasing your right to hope they suffer. You're releasing your right to hope they be punished. You're turning that over to the Lord. You ain't sitting around hope they get, they're going to get it. They, you know, I'll be glad when they get it. I see people sometimes sitting in courtrooms. I feel sorry for them. Somebody violated them, and they sitting in courtrooms just waiting on the person to get it. They got to get it. In other words, in their mind, listen carefully, in their minds, they need the person to get it or get punished, watch this, for them to have closure. That's a terrible thing. I don't want my closure to depend on nobody else. Because, see, if they get off, then I'm going to hate the system. I'm going to hate them. I'm going to hate everybody. So you're releasing your right. You're turning it over to God, and you're releasing your right for them to be punished. And then you're releasing your right to bring it up in your conversation. You're not going to bring it up anymore in your conversation. You're not going to bring it up in your conversation. In fact, you're going to pray for them. You're going to pray. Watch this. If they're not saved, that they come into a saving knowledge of Christ. If you're going to pray that they come into a place of true repentance. They may be born again. True repentance. And you're going to pray that God's will be fulfilled in their lives. Yeah, you're going to pray for them. Yeah, you're going to pray for them. You're going to pray for them.